Well, all right. Welcome to another episode of the Tiger Minor League Report here at TigersMLReport.com. I am Roy Hill Castillo. Beside me is Chris Brown. No Brandon Day this evening, it appears. So everything is well, Brandon. We had some internet issues with him last week, and I think he's working on it a little bit. But all things aside, hopefully your Monday night is going well. If you're watching the Tigers, then I'm sorry.
Well, at least they got some runners on base today. Today was really more about Resolson just not having it, looking like Toledo Resolson, honestly. But you got an RBI hit from Colt Keith. You got some traffic on the bases, at least. That's better than it's been. Not to sugarcoat it, right? But it's still another loss, probably. It's not over yet, but sure looks like a loss.
Yeah, it didn't look good. And as far as what concerns me about the offense too is that, I mean, we're making fun of Pittsburgh yesterday on the podcast a little bit on more symmetric side of things, because Pittsburgh does this they've done this last couple seasons where they get off to a really good start and then they kind of fade out, but they play the Tigers very tough. And so, speaking of things that are tough, hopefully your wall didn't look too tough after all the gambling from the weekend for the March Madness. There was women's game, South Carolina making history, and Bet Online is your place for the tournament bracket all spring long. I was gonna say March, but it doesn't apply to the copy here. And we still have a lot more in store for you. MLB's here, NBA, NHL playoffs around the corner. And as always, Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports waging. Head to Bet Online today to stay updated to all the action. Remember, use the promo code Believe. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. So yeah, that's essentially in a nutshell that it's, Baez struck out. Perez is off to Wenzel Perez did get the call up to Toledo today, or call up from Toledo today. And that was at first speculated heavily on what happened. And then it was just a simple Andy Baez tweak the left hamstring.
Yeah, and I don't know if that happened. I don't know if anybody looked back and saw when that happened, or if maybe it happened, before. Or I suppose it would have happened yesterday, right? Not today, because Wenzel Perez announced it himself on his Instagram. And congrats to Tigers Torkmoyle for trolling those Instagram pages and finding that. So I assume it was yesterday. But yeah, the Tigers, that got out for hours and hours before the Tigers actually announced the move. It wasn't until after the locker room opened up in Pittsburgh, right, that they actually announced it. It's good. It's well-deserved. He's worked hard for years and years. He's originally signed in 2016, and he's a solid offensive prospect in the system. And it just so happened that, Ryan Kreidler went on the injured list, and then Eddie Leonard got injured too on Sunday. And Wenzel Perez is one of the few remaining offensive options on the 40-man, at least to them, I think the best option. Akil Badu hasn't been playing very well, and Buddy Kennedy is okay, but Wenzel Perez is, of the guys in the 40-man, he's off to the best start.
Yeah, I mean, the batting average doesn't appear that way. You look at the batting average, .213, but he has hit the ball well when he's made contact. And, if you're looking at kicking the that term about chicken shit to chicken salad, it's the Tigers are doing the best that they can with that. But there's a lot to be said about just Perez there. What happened with Riley Green? Apparently Riley just killed the man.
He doubled on a sharp fly ball to left fielder Jack Swinski. I don't know. I'm not watching, but he got an RBI there. So it's 7-4 now. Perez, like you said, he's hitting .212, .213 or whatever, but it was five extra base hits, including a huge home run this week, and in terms of when it happened, it put the Tigers were down to their last out, or the Mudhens were down to their last out. What happened? You saw it?
I put the game up. I have it on mute because of the copyright lords. Yeah. But yeah, he crashed right into the wall on that.
Oh, Sawinski did?
Yeah.
Did he stay down or did he get up?
Yeah, he got up.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It was good that Perez, no, and Richard, don't get me wrong, Perez did deserve it. It's not that we saw his swings down Toledo. He had the best swings.
There's some, you know, it's early in the season. There's an element of BABIP there, right? Like I think he had four walks and five strikeouts or something like that. It wasn't like he was striking out a ton. It was just when he was putting the ball in play, it was either going for extra bases or getting caught. So, he deserved this, and he got first at bat tonight, and then his second at bat, he got the tough duty of facing Aroldis Chapman, who was absolutely dotting all his pitches right now. So that's unfortunate when he's throwing 101 at the, you know, corner. There's not much anybody can do. So, but I don't know. You know, Perez, he fouled off two pitches from Chapman before that, like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and like a 90-mile-an-hour slider or whatever. So, I don't know. We'll see how much he plays while he's up here. We still don't really have word on how long Abanez figures to be out, but hamstrings can kind of be an issue. We know Kevin McGonigal had the hamstring issue. We don't know when it started, but you know, he wasn't there for the spring breakout, and he's still on the IL for Lakeland. So could be a month, could be more. I don't know.
Yeah, those things tend to linger a little bit too. So it depends on also you're in the time of year where it's still relatively cold. Although today in Michigan, it was a gorgeous 72 degrees.
It was beautiful.
Eclipse and all that jazz. It was still a very, very nice day out in the Motor City. Depends on where you're at. And Torkelson strikes out.
Mm-hmm.
Strike him out, throw him out.
Or did they actually throw him out, or did they?
No, at least he struck out. They catch dropped the ball, and then they threw the first.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah.
Two gone in the ninth, and it's two gone now in the ninth. It's up to Mark Canha.
It's tough when, you know, Parker Meadows has been walking, but he's hitting 80, and his OPS is under 500, and Torkelson's OPS is under 600, and Kerry Carpenter's OPS is right around 600. It's just, you know, none of the guys you're counting on have really showed up. Riley Green is hitting under 200 despite, you know, doing some damage lately. He may be up to 200 now after that double, I don't know. And Colt Keith has two hits today, so I think he's hitting above 200, but still waiting for that first home run. So I don't know. Yeah, it's up at the big league level, we're relying on the young guys, and the young guys are finding it right now.
And game over. Okay. Pirates win 7-4.
Three straight losses for the Tigers. Still above 500.
Still above 500.
Yeah. You know who's not above 500?
Who's that? Marlins?
The Toledo Mudhens.
Oh, the Toledo Mudhens are not. Yeah. Oh, nice. Segue. Yeah. Here I am, usually the Segway king here, and I totally dropped the ball. Now, that's my fault, dude. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, the Toledo Mudhens this weekend were in Iowa. It was a very cold, blistery series. The wind was howling the whole series, according to the Youper. And they lost. They went the series 2-4 against the iCubs. And really, it was just as far as offensive numbers go. I mean, they scored six runs yesterday, but it was a mixture of a lot of things, Chris. It was the rotation, a little bit of the bullpen, but it was just, again, the Cubs have some pretty good prospects on that team too. They have, I think, three or four top three prospects.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have Pete Crow Armstrong there. They have Owen Casey. They have I'm forgetting the name of the kid they got from San Francisco a while back, but he's another outfielder. They have really good some strong pitching down there too. So they're a talented team, and and like you said, it was, you know, there were a couple games where the Mudhens had the lead and the bullpen just kind of fell apart, and it was not just one person. You know, Brendan White really struggled. Anderson really struggled. Vasquez had some troubles. Brisky had one rough outing and then one solid outing, I think. It's early in the season, but one of the things we kind of thought was going to be a strength doesn't look like it right now. They got some decent starts. Brant Herder had a pretty good start. Four innings. That's what they're holding all their prospects to right now, four innings or less and 60 to 70 pitches. But he got 13 swings and misses, and a lot of them actually with the changeup, which is a pitch that he's really working on. And so that was good to see. So, you know, you can take a little out of that, but it's we talked about this in the show yesterday. A lot of what we're seeing with the Tigers right now, we're also seeing with the minor league teams. Like Justice Bigby struck out 8 times last week, and he's not a huge strikeout guy, but he's swinging and missing at basically every breaking ball he sees right now, which is not like him. So it's just that part. And then Eddie's Leonard, 12 strikeouts last week, 5 for 25 with 2 walks and 12 strikeouts before he got hurt. He's another guy that doesn't strike out like that. He's a contact guy. So yeah, just everybody's still trying to find their swings this part in the season.
Yeah. You can blame the bats. Always, you can always say that the bats take some time to catch up and what have you, but yeah, there's a lot of quick at bats. I mean, a lot of 3-strike, 1-2-3, you're out kind of at bats. And you can take some solace in yesterday, like in terms of just, if there's one takeaway from yesterday, I know that JC Young had a pretty good game. And overall, series-wise, Chris, he recovered pretty nicely the last couple of days. So he went 3 for 4 yesterday with a pair of RBIs and a walk. And I think you put it on the, I don't know, Twitter account. He made a really nice play at third.
Yeah, I don't know if he had a couple opportunities to do that during the week and did make some nice plays. You know, they weren't like gold glove plays or whatever, but you know, we're setting the bar kind of low to see what he can do at third base. And he seems to be making all the routine and sort of challenging plays, you know, where you have to run in and grab the ball and throw on the run. He seems to be able to do all that. So that's a good sign. I still don't know if it's, you know, how well it's going to work, but he looks the part there. And yeah, he hit a home run to the opposite field. And then he also hit a big double off the wall in the opposite field the other day. The one bummer though, is he was having a great game, right? And they were down by 3 runs and he came up with the bases loaded and it was a 3-pitch strikeout. It was like, you know, you're counting on him to kind of get that big knock. And it just, you can't get a hit every time, but yeah, he had a solid week and Malloy was okay. But beyond that, you know, you're talking about Buddy Kennedy had a good week and Bly Madris had a good week. And, that was basically your offense.
Yeah. I mean, Christian Hira, bad 263 for the week. And then you got that Dingler. You're always, I'm sorry. It's like this. We talk about this every other week. It seemed like on the podcast last year, Dingler good, Dingler bad, Dingler good this week.
Yeah.
0-91.
One for 11 with 3 walks and 4 strikeouts. I mean, the walks are nice. It was nobody really stepped up that much. I mean, we mentioned Perez, he was 4 for 22, but he had a double and that home run, as we talked about, 2 steals. But yeah, it was just kind of, again, like they're just kind of resembling the Tigers. It's a little bit, still trying to find their footing. You know, Akil Baddoo looks kind of rough down there. He is walking a little bit, but his swing just hasn't looked right basically since he came up to the Tigers that first year. So, and he really, you know, as Yoop said about the wind swirling out there, you could tell in the one game, Baddoo was playing center field and there were a couple times where he basically ran back to the warning track and then had to come in like 30 feet after getting to the warning track because of the way the winds were swirling in the ball. And it wasn't just him, that the Cubs center fielder was struggling like that too. So yeah, it's probably tough to be playing this early in the year in Iowa.
You know, we had a good week too. Let's get to the pitching side of things, because there was a couple standouts. Mason Engler, 4 innings of work, 1 hit, 7 strikeouts. Really seemed like he's been dialed in as of late. Just period. Even another encouraging start from Kyler Montero, although he did have 3 walks, so 4 innings, 1 hit, and 4 strikeouts cast for much more than that. And as far as that, and the Devin Sweet, who I believe he started. Yeah, they had a bullpen start.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad either. And he's so far on the season, he's been done. This guy was a Triple A veteran, 10 strikeouts, and he hasn't walked anybody in 6 innings of work so far.
Yeah, he basically started the game that Manning was supposed to start, but Manning had to come up for the doubleheader on Thursday. And he went out there and looked okay. I think, who was it? Yoop said that I think Pete Crow Armstrong got the home run off him. But other than that, yeah, he striking guys out. And like you mentioned, yeah, Englert, really good week. One of the interesting things so far is we've seen Wilmer Flores pitch a couple times now. and he's got 5 walks to 3 strikeouts last week, and the velocity is back down to 94, 96. And that might just be, again, because it's cold, but it's something to keep an eye on, right? Because that was, you know, velocity, that's basically where the velocity was 2 years ago. And then last year it was down below that. And then in the spring it was way up. So I don't know. We got to keep an eye on that. Fortunately, we do have all the StatCast Hawkeye data from AAA. So we'll be able to let you guys know if where he settles in with that fastball. But yeah, kind of rough so far.
That has been, you know, Jerry's already given us a couple of interesting statoids or factoids from the Hawkeye data. I think he put it on our DMs. I'm pretty sure I saw something about it earlier with the amount of, maybe it was a hitter base. But beyond that, yeah, the rest of the pitching staff down in Toledo for the week. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the one that we discussed this a little bit, the one guy I'm really kind of worried about right now is Brendan White. Last week, an inning and a third, 1 hit, 4 earned runs because 6 walks in 1 hit batter, 0 strikeouts. So when we know that he had a tender elbow heading into the season, right? He was out a little bit in spring. And I am a little bit concerned there that maybe something's still bothering him, or maybe he's, you know, he's aching a little bit, so it's altered his mechanics. But I mean, that's a guy that you know, I thought the Tigers were going to count on at some point this year to get some outs in the big leagues. And that's certainly not, you don't want to see a guy who goes 6 walks and 0 strikeouts. That's it's like Alek Manoah the other day. Oof. In Lakeland.
Yeah, we'll get to that because that was rough. There was a lot of Blue Jay fans that were commenting on that. By the way, if you are watching us on YouTube, thank you for watching. Please subscribe to us. And if you feel like asking a question, you want to do a super chat, there's a super chat feature there. And also you can donate to our PayPal, and the donations scrolling across right now.
What's the deal? We got 15,000 Twitter subscribers or followers, but only 1,600 YouTube followers.
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Yeah, where is everybody? Yeah, exactly. It's not like we're blowing you up with notifications every day. We put the videos up. Take a minute, mm-hmm. Subscribe. It goes a long way. And after that, you do whatever you want after that. You can watch your, whatever people watch on YouTube. Well, it depends on your streamers. There's a lot of people that watch like everything from nail polish videos, apparently. There's a thing. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. Speed gaming. A lot of, like, that's a, speed I know runs, people yeah. watch that. But
yeah.
Let's get back unboxing. Into what would you say?
Unboxing.
Oh, bah. Yeah, I did a mock unboxing of my sleep machine because I'm getting old. And anyway, all right, so let's move on to Erie. And the Seawolves, by the way, their home opener tomorrow, I'll be out there for that as they look defending Eastern League champs. It's a nice ring to it. They are opened the season this weekend against Harrisburg. Harrisburg's got some prospects in their system, but they came away 2-1 after the weekend, and they'll have Jackson Job starting tomorrow. Or I'm sorry,
Troy Melton. Right?
Troy Melton. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Job went on Sunday. We'll talk about that shortly. And they got a really good start from Lyle Locker, which I have some of the video from that start. And he started opening day and did a very good job of debuting his, he's talking about throwing a sinker. Was able to hit both sides of the plate very effectively.
End up and the 0-2 swing.
Yeah, really, really nice. You know, mixing the fastball and then the slider and then the kind of the slower curve. But this fastball, you can tell, is just hopping on guys. They were And then there's the slower curve, and then he'd break in a little. I don't know if it's a cutter or slider or what he has, but
yeah, like slider, it's kind of sweep action. There's a kind of high curve got away with there. Oh, that's a nice.
That looks like a changeup or a sinker right there, but
yeah.
Probably change up, or this. I guess he was working on a split change, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is, you can see why he got the opening day start, right? What was it, 9 strikeouts in 4 1/3, and 16 swings and misses, 14, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he put up a 2.5 ERA or whatever last year in Double A, and we just popped him into the top 30 on our list after. I don't remember what happened, if somebody else dropped out, but after Lipsius left, right?
Yep.
Correct. And you wrote a scouting report on that, so people should go check it out. But yeah, definitely a nice start. They and the Seawolves took that one home with that was the
breaking ball line deep out to left field. Pinckney going back on it.
That was the first game. That was Chris Myers, right? The 2-run homer. I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it pretty much. And what he's off to he's off to a really good start. He's actually leading the system in batting average right now.
And what you saw right there was Hau Yuli's first double A home run. Right. And we talked about it on the other show the other day too, but it I kind of projected Hau Yuli back to high A. And so to see him up in double A and performing is nice.
Yeah, this is Chris Myers. It's the offense from Friday.
Yeah, 2-run blast from Chris Myers. He's off, yeah, as you said, off to a really good start. What's he hitting here? Let's see. Yeah, hit 364 with a 1235 OPS. He went 4-for-11 with 2 doubles, a homer, and a walk, and a steal. Randy,
yeah, he had a steal too. Yeah, that's right. Randy. Oh. There's gonna be plenty about Jose Bisseño shortly, my friend. Yes. There will be a entire probably dedicated 15 minutes. Well, not that long, but a lot of it. We'll be talking about Jose Bisseño's week because he had probably one of the better weeks in the system. But yeah, and then Saturday's game against Harrisburg, they went 8-2. The offense came out and did a really good job because this is where, admittedly, the offense coming into the season for the Seawolves, you're kind of wondering where it was going to come from. But you're not worried. Like I said, we just showed you the Lee home run, but it was Ty Madden. Mm-hmm. 4 perfect innings, struck out 5. It looked really sharp. His curveball looked really good. He was able to spot his fastball very well. And I honestly went out there against Dylan Cruz made him look silly. He didn't strike out, but he just didn't have no chance against his pitches at all.
Yeah, and we should mention this right now while we're talking about this. Yeah, that was Dylan Cruz first. Dylan Cruz, of course, second pick in the draft right after Paul Skeens went ahead of one pick ahead of Max Clark. Dylan Cruz went 1-for-12 this week, I think, with 7 strikeouts. I think in that first game, he was so 0-for-4. I thought he got a hit in the third game. But yeah, Dylan Cruz against in that first game, I think he went 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts and swung and missed 7 times on 13 pitches, something like that. So that's just keep that in mind when we're down in Lakeland talking about Max Clark, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure that's
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I know, trust me. There's I got a little carried away with sticking up for Clark this weekend, but it was just also because it was just a lot of trolling. That was funny. I don't know if you saw that from Sean.
Yeah. that's funny. I'm glad you brought that up because I felt like he got, at least in my head, he got a little bit lost in the weekend, right? Lockhart had that huge start, and then Job was the next day, and then Madden goes out there and it's awesome for 4 innings. And really, he was like 52 pitches through 4 innings, right?
Right.
And, but that's, again, they're just holding their starters to that right now. And honestly, given the relative lack of pitcher injuries they've had over the last 2 years or so, I would say that the way the Tigers are doing it is good for me right now, right? Like,
yeah,
really, you're looking at Tyler Madison is basically the only kind of prospect elbow injury. Now, there were a bunch of guys in the lower minors, but none of them were on our top 30. So that's a pretty nasty pitch right there from Ty Madden.
Yeah.
And again, the thing with Ty Madden we need to see is the consistency, right? Because I feel like we've gone through this each of the last 2 years where his first start of the year is dominating. Like, oh boy, look at this. And then the next start, it's just kind of middling. So I want to see him come back and do this multiple times and earn, force his way up to Toledo. I think that's something I'd like to see.
Especially too, that his next opponent is Binghamton. So Binghamton's pretty prospect heavy as well. So if he can do well against a team like that, the Royal Ponies, that should help him in terms of confidence. And that was a team he dominated against in the postseason too last year. So, but they have made some personnel changes. And then Jackson Job pitched yesterday, 2 1/3 innings. He allowed 3 hits, no earned runs, but allowed 3 runs, 3 run, or 3
why earned runs.
Yeah. I not talk tonight? Christ.
I think it was a Navigado error at shortstop, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't, he wasn't particularly crisp, right? And as we joked about it, I mean, those three walks, that's halfway to his entire total from last year.
Yeah.
And I think certainly that may have been basically the first time he pitched in the cold, like ever in pro ball. Now, when we think about it, because he was down in Lakeland.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
He was down in Lakeland for most of 22, right? And he came up to West Michigan late in the year. And there may be one of those late season games was a little bit chilly. But then he was down in Lakeland last year, rehabbing his injury, and came up to West Michigan in the middle of the season. And then one start up in Erie late in the year. So I pretty safe to say that's the coldest professional start he's ever had. And you just wonder if that affected him. At least you hope so, because you're kind of counting on him to not be that wild. But yeah, again, like you said, he didn't get charged with any earned runs, so that'll look good on the line.
Yeah, that will look good on the line. And will also look good on the line too is that it's just shows he's human, but also,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, just maybe one of those
pump
things
the brakes
where,
a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the first inning or so, he looked fantastic. And yeah, it's just against a team, like, you're going to see this is going to happen. It's not going to, he's not going to go through mold through everybody. And so I personally think that it's one of those things where it's good to see him face some adversity. I mean, you're gonna have to face some adversity. I mean, last year, his first start against Richmond in the middle of September, it was like nothing, and even bat him an eye, but he's going to face like the best of the best here early on in the season.
Yeah. And honestly, you do want to, you want to see a guy struggle a little bit and overcome it. You just hope that it doesn't affect him in any way. And yeah, I'm sure that he'll, depending on the weather, of course, I think he'll be stronger in his home opener, which would be what, Saturday, maybe? Saturday, I think.
Yes, it would be Saturday. I believe, yeah.
You'll have Melton tomorrow and then probably Wilkell on Wednesday.
Wilkell, yeah, he pitched solid out of the bullpen Friday or Saturday? Was it Saturday he pitched out of the bullpen?
Saturday, maybe. He threw one inning and looked pretty good. And then it'd be back to Lockhart and then Madden and Jobe. So, yeah. I don't know. And Andrew Magno threw one very nice inning to close out the win in the first game. And, you know, it's only been three games, so you don't really have much to say. Again, the offense was mostly Myers and then Hao Yuli, but, got him a couple wins, right? So that works.
Yeah. They had a pretty good weekend overall. They got what they wanted. They got some win. They won the series and something more you can ask for. And yeah, it's going to be, they had today the over in Erie, they had the Eclipse event. Everything was, people were wearing those glasses and team was out there like that. So it was, I was going to go in today, but then hotel prices were jacked up from like double or triple what they normally pay. So
yeah, I mean, Erie was smack in the middle of the path of totality or whatever they call it, right? Like that, yeah. that was one of the places that was getting the full Eclipse. And we went out today and it was pretty close, but it wasn't full.
Totally. So Bonnie Taylor style for anybody that gets that reference.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
That's a bad reference, but no, it was out here. It just looked like it got really cloudy all of a sudden. Sarah, my wife says, hey, go outside. I go check it out for a second. I'm like, I saw the eclipse in seventh grade, or I think I forgot what it was. I saw it in high school.
I think seventh grade would have. I had one. I remember when eighth grade, and I was a grade above you, I think. So
So,
and then I remember one, 2017.
So one before that too. Oh, 2017. Oh, there was another one. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen one before. Well, I mean, technically, you've seen one. Then it's not. I don't know. I just wasn't like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, yeah, I was in here cutting up Perez stuff, and then I was doing my day job, so I was just way too preoccupied.
It's too much. Still kind of neat.
It is neat. Don't get me wrong. It is pretty cool, but obligations and stuff.
It's no Haley's Comet, which I remember as a kid, but 76 years, I think. And I think it came in what, 1986, 87?
I remember there were commercials for it as a kid. Like they were just making a big deal about it.
Supposedly that Mark Twain was born the year Haley's Comet came, and he wanted to live until it came again, and he did, and then he died. That's the story. So there you go.
Simple
Mark
simple
Twain facts. Twain facts. Mark Twain.
Only on this podcast we get 1987. Thank you, Sean.
87.
You only get,
yeah.
you'll get some Mark Twain facts here. Where else are you gonna get that from? Okay, so let's move on to West Michigan and the Whitecaps this weekend off in Lake County. Yeah, again, my apologies, folks. I think it's just been, I've been on the phone all day working. I've been talking too much today, so I apologize. Shout out to Genesee County, Morris Township there. Nice. So you lived out there at that time. Okay, gotcha. Sean on YouTube here. The Whitecaps went 1-2 against Lake County, and they had a really good start from a guy that I think people are going to start knowing his name a little more. And I've been talking about this guy for a while now. Actually, all of us had, let's just be fair. And recently he was on Jeff Ponce's list on Baseball America as one Jaden Ham. And this is his second inning of work here. And I was talking to somebody and they're like, well, so the shadows in Lake County were, it might've played a factor in that. And then I was talking to Jeff Ponce about this evening. He goes, dude, he was clowning people in the backfields in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you could tell it's a basically over the top arm angle, a very high three quarter arm angle.
Yeah.
And a lot of carry on the fastball and a good breaking ball and a good changeup. And it kind of, you know, he jumped on the radar last year, right? Because he didn't give up any runs in his pro debut and was striking guys out and not walking anybody, I think. And as you said, Jeff saw him on the backfields, minor league spring training, and he was looking really good. And it continued into his pro debut up here in the cold. So nice to see. He's a guy that will probably find his way onto our top 30 pretty soon on our next update, I would think.
Yeah.
You based on this stuff, really. I mean, it's not all that dissimilar from a guy like Tyler Madison, but in a starter's package, which is very enticing, as it were.
And one of the things that Jeff did say, though, is like you would hope that you see some more velocity from him a little bit. That's his big, like, long term concern. But if he gets a little more velocity, I mean, watch out, man.
Yeah, because he's what, like, he's 91, 93, 92, 94, touching 95. One thing we do know about, pitchers is they can squeeze out more velocity at times, but we'll see. I mean, you don't want to count on that, and you don't want to rule it out yet either, right? I mean, Bo Brisky was not throwing 97, 98 when we saw him in West Michigan.
Yeah.
And he was still starting then, but.
Yeah, I mean, even then, it's one of those things where you really have to worry, more concerned about the command and calling a good – commanding and in control and command and control, really, mm-hmm. and getting batters out as effectively as possible. I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but you want to, as you're doing that, what's developing? What is getting better? Is your curveball getting better? Is your slider getting better? Are you making adjustments to the next level? Those are the things that are concerning and you should be concerned with. But like right there, that was a sick pitch right there. Him to just come in there and just right there, just so much. That looks like a changeup there.
Pitch. Yeah, it's a nice three pitch mix at least, right? I don't know if he has a curve and a slider. I guess we'll have to dig into the data a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I can't make it to West Michigan's opener tomorrow. I was hoping to, but my babysitter is in Italy, and my wife has a budget meeting, and my son has soccer, and I just couldn't figure out how to make it work. I didn't know about the budget meeting until last night. But hopefully I can get out there later this week and maybe catch Ham's start, which would, I think, again, be either Saturday or Sunday, because he pitched – Friday's game was postponed due to inclement weather, right? So he pitched the second game on – was it the second Saturday. Game on Saturday? Yeah. The
second game on Saturday, yep.
Yeah, Garrett Burhan pitched really well in the first game, and they won that one, I believe. Was it 2-0?
Yeah, that was the only game they won of the weekend, yeah.
And then Ham pitched really well in the second game, but then the bullpen, I think, gave it up later, and they lost 3-1. Sound right?
Yeah, that's right.
And again, we're talking about, you notice those scores are pretty low. The offense wasn't necessarily doing a ton. You got a Luke Gold home run, which was nice to see. He's another guy that we're kind of thinking about. And you mentioned this yesterday, something I didn't even notice. He's been playing first base, which we wondered how they're going to figure out the infield configuration in West Michigan. And I guess one of those solutions is just throw Luke Gold at first base. So that obviously puts the onus on his bat But so far, so good. He's got the first home run. So it'll be interesting to see if that's a long-term solution there or what.
There is. I think that even, I mean, because if you look at who's playing second base, Max Anderson, who's off to a really good start, hitting the ball pretty well. Because, I thought that based off his size, I thought Anderson might get some time at first. And I think he played a little bit in Nebraska, didn't he?
Yep. He did play first base at Nebraska. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of those ones where, you know, he's the second round pick last year, their third overall pick in the draft, right? And he probably has more priority than Luke Gold, who was a fifth rounder, fourth rounder, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
So they want maybe that, or maybe they'll play them both there. I don't know. We'll see. It's early. There's Max Anderson.
2-0 is whipped in a shallow.
What's that, Chris?
I get a bit of a Lipsius vibe from Max Anderson.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's kind of the stance, and right there, you know, that was just an opposite field swing, right? Like just hit a hard line drive to the opposite field, take the hit, which is something we saw from Lipsius way back in the day when we saw him out in West Michigan, 2019.
You know, it's a 2019 vibe today. I mean, we had Winciel Perez, who we saw a lot in 2019, and he used to be more of a slap and run hitter. I mean, just now he's completely evolved into something else. But there was something, you know, yesterday there was two things that were kind of eye-popping a little bit. One, Dylan Smith went out there and did what he was supposed to do against high pitching. And by the way, in West League, during this time of year, offense is just at a premium because it's such a – between the weather and just some of those ballparks, it's hard to get anything going. But Dylan Smith, 3-1 third – or three – just – or three and one
three – three and a third innings, yep.
Three and third innings, thank you. I don't know why I can't say this tonight. Two hits, one run, two walks, and six strikeouts. And Carlos Pena out of the bullpen. He did blow the save, but still, seven strikeouts and same amount of innings of work. And Zach Hass, I can't believe he's still in the system.
It's been, you know, he was part of that 2018 draft class, or was he 2019 as well? Was he 2019? I think he was 2019.
Was it 2019? Okay.
I think they only took two pitchers in the top 10 of the 2019, and it was Hess and Bergner, I believe. I may be mistaken there, but he remember we saw him throwing, looking kind of electric, actually, in the whatever they called it during the COVID year when they had the games there, the inter-squad games at Comerica, and we got some Zach Hess, but he's been injured and injured and injured, and I saw him a little bit last year on the backfield cameras in the complex league, and he was struggling to throw strikes, but you know, he's still sticking with it, and so good for him. We did, speaking of coming back from injury, Tanner Kohlhepp made his high A debut with the White Caps and looked awesome. Three strikeouts on like 14 pitches, really nasty 95, 96 mile an hour fastball, good slider. And he's a guy who could move quickly if he throws strikes because the pure stuff is really good. So that was nice to see him throwing strikes.
The biggest thing too for Smith, I think this year is to get obviously to stay healthy too, but I love to see him kind of establish himself. He's either, I think he can do either, or I think he could be a reliever or a starter. I like to see how the Tigers use him this year going forward.
Yeah. And well, it's kind of a bigger anyway, because he was part of that 2021 draft class that has to be added to the 40 man college players after this season. So Ty Madden, Dylan Smith, guys like that need to be added to the 40 man or, you know, put up for potential drafting from other teams. So yeah, we projected him to Erie a little bit, but again, that's if you're getting innings anywhere, that's important. So it's nice to see him do that. And if he can continue pitching like this, he'll probably get bumped up before too long. The one thing I guess we should touch on this, we've speculated a little bit. I don't think we've heard any confirmation yet. At least I haven't, is with Perez going up to Detroit, they're going to backfill that throughout the system. And we figured, right, that it was probably Corey Joyce going from Erie to Toledo, but it could be Navigado, could be Workman, who knows. And then probably Danny Cerretti going from West Michigan to Erie. That's just our guess right now. We'll see what happens. We may find out tomorrow.
Yeah, there should be probably announced probably early on, because with the West Michigan's also having their home opener. As I mentioned earlier, Lakeland's also having their home opener. So I'm sure there'll be activity on pretty quickly on what roster is going to be and what have you. And so, but yeah, there's the biggest concern. The one thing about the infield in West Michigan, too, you've seen Peyton Graham, who's going to be your everyday shortstop. He's off to a slow start. Expected is also a lot of eyes are going to be on Isaac Pacheco. I mean, this is a year. I'm not going to say it's a make or break year, nothing like that. But you're going to hope to see some, again, better at bats in this year. And you started figuring out like last year. It was, you know what the stat was? I just realized Jerry was talking about was Christian Santana's stat.
Oh, yes, yes. The sweet spot stat.
Sweet spot stat, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Graham 1-for-8 with a pair of walks and 3 strikeouts. The one hit was a nice sharp line drive, but yeah, you know, he's another guy that it's tough to know what to expect there because he's missed so much time in pro ball already, and you hope that he can pick it up. And but yeah, with Pacheco 1-for-6 with a walk and 4 strikeouts, I agree with you. It's not, I would never call it a make or break year, but it's a year where you want to see some progress. It doesn't necessarily mean the end for him as a prospect if he stays in West Michigan all year and he even has to go back again next year. That's kind of the Parker Meadows, Winsell Perez, playbook, right? They both started back at West Michigan maybe when they shouldn't have and quickly hit their way out of there when they proved they were too good. So, but you hope that Pacheco can do that this year. But, you know, as you said, you know, offense is a premium at this time of year. Midwest League is a terrible place to hit in April and even into May. So, I don't want to judge too much yet.
Speaking of not terrible hitting, though.
Nine lifts the right arm hang. Now sets.
All right, we're heading down to Lakeland.
Goes from first, and the pitch is lined into Christian Feliz's mitt at first. What a play from Feliz, who dropped to his knees to snare it and save more damage in the top of the second inning.
Yeah, a little bit of Jose Briseño. I thought I had a little more than that. I thought I had done a little more than that, but maybe I didn't. Either way. Jose Briseño. Let's talk about Jose Briseño, Chris, because he had a good weekend, and he continues to be. There was an article on Baseball America about him. The word is getting out, as we mentioned earlier. There's a good question here about his term. Is going to be the catcher of the future, and is he the Ethan Salas type of prospect? And I was talking to Jeff earlier. He asked me what I thought about his bat. And I said, I thought it looked a little faster through his zone comparatively speaking last year because he's thinned out a little bit. And one of the things he was telling me that he was talking to some of the, sorry, I was throwing off there. I was looking for something else here. bat looks better. It's more strength and leverage to bat speed. It's not swinging and missing either. It's just someone Scott's mentioned is the bat speed concern to him. So if it's more of a bigger guy going slower, getting the same torque, that's what Jeff was saying about that. I thought that was a good point.
Yeah, I mean, so I get it. Then, and that's been a concern with hitters for forever, right? That the it's not a bat speed power; it's just brute strength power. And that I could see that possibly being the case, but you really can't tell that until you're facing premium velocity on a regular basis, 95 plus or whatever. And I was just super impressed. The main thing, and I mentioned this in the show the other day, is I think his approach is too advanced for low A right now. If he stays at low A for two, he's going to end up with like 40 walks and 10 strikeouts. I think he's 4-1 right now. And we uploaded every one of his plate appearances from this weekend. Same with Max Clark. And I don't know if we want to watch him or other people can go watch him on their own, but you can see it. Like there's a couple plate appearances where he'll get down 0-2 and just foul off everything until they walk him. And, right. and then he hit 3 balls more than 105 miles an hour. I think, you know, only one was a hit, but yeah, when he makes contact, he hits the ball really hard. So yeah, I mean, the thing is he only caught in one of those games. He was the DH in one and first baseman at one. And I thought he looked okay behind the plate. There was, one clip where the ball got away from him and then he picked it up and fell down that I didn't tweet out because it was unfair, but I put it in the Discord just because it's kind of funny. And I think they're going to continue to have him play back there. But honestly, I mean, I think he looks like a pretty solid defensive first baseman And I think the bat should play there, at least early on. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to project him as a catcher down the road, but I wouldn't give up on it by any means. But if you want to only catch him 2-3 times a week, that's fine, right? You want that bat in your lineup.
I mean, I know that we've talked to Darko about keeping him in the lineup as a catcher. And he thinks his long-term he is a catcher. But, yeah, honestly, any way to keep him in the – he's not Ethan Salas when it comes like a once-in-generation defensive talent. But he does have a good bat, and that's where – it's one of those things where you're looking at his – now it's making me think I have to look at it as more of his bats, what Jeff was talking about too, about just
– We got him. They're on our YouTube page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or our YouTube page. That's another reason why I subscribe, Slackers. I'm just joking.
Well, I'd say you could put him up right now if you really wanted to. But
you're right. I could.
Yeah. All right. Well, because that was, you know, the first game he got was 108 mile an hour single. And the next at bat was a line drive that the first baseman caught. And then it was just a bunch of walks. And like I said, there were a couple really impressive arms on Dunedin that I want to mention toward the end of this. But
you talking about what's that one guy with the like six strikeouts? The pinch on relief was really good.
Yeah, the Sunday kid by the name of Landon Marutis.
Marutis, that's what it was. Yeah, I couldn't think of his.
I don't want to get crazy, but he wouldn't stun me at all if that kid's a top 100 prospect within the next 18 months. He's 19-year-old pitcher, was sitting 94 with a really nice slider, a good curveball, throwing strikes. He faced 12 batters, got all 12 of them out with six strikeouts, I think it was. So yeah, here's. So here's Briseño. Every pitch he saw that we could. It's I don't know if it's not smooth enough there, but there we go. That looks a little smoother.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can see this is his second at bat where he just lines out to the first baseman. It doesn't stand out as being like particularly impressive bat speed, but he's on everything, man. Like the only times he swung and missed were on a couple. He had a slider under his hands, a really good slider from Marutis. And then he faced a tough lefty, a guy with a really tough angle from lefty, and he got him with a sinker up. But I think this might be one of his walks. And one of the things I was talking about, this is like an 8 or 9 pitch walk where he's just fouling off everything close and then taking his walk. And you'd like to see him turn on these pitches, right? But, they're all kind of elevated, and he's not swinging and missing. The good eye there didn't, breaking ball didn't drop in on him.
Definitely close pitch there.
Yeah, so took a walk, and then I think there's this little single the opposite way. Okay. Just a nice piece of hitting, right? Well, didn't crush it, but hits are hits.
He barreled it up nicely. Yeah. Got out there.
And like I said, we got just a hard grounder. We got 3 games worth of at bats. I just wanted to put him up there. I put his and Max Clark's up because I figured people would want to see. And we honestly, it's just we haven't had a whole lot of. This is one where he should have popped out there and then had new life. And I think this is like a 10 pitch at bat. I don't think that's Marutis, but that was a pretty damn good slider, right? That was. Yeah. You don't really blame him there, but. You look at him and he's a big kid, but it's not like he's not like Dan Vogelback up there, right? Like he looks like a big, strong athlete type kid. Like bigger than Roberto Campos even, right?
Yeah.
But you do, like we said, he's 19. You're not, he's most likely not going to get smaller as he gets older. So it's tough to project him at catcher, but maybe later in the year we'll do take a closer look, do a video of him behind the plate to see what he looks like.
But yeah, I wouldn't mind do that. And hopefully, when you see him in West Michigan, when it gets a little warmer, perhaps. I know some fans would like to see him up there now, but let's address the elephant in the room with Max Clark, who is off to hasn't got a hit yet, and all weekend I mentioned this earlier. A lot of people were ragging on him on social media, and
it what sucks is that it doesn't matter what he does unless he hits 600 with 40 home runs. people are just going to complain because the Tigers could have taken White Langford, and White Langford's in the big leagues. But as we talked about earlier, Dylan Cruz, who went ahead of both of them, is off to a really slow start and didn't hit a home run in his pro debut last year. You know, Paul Skenes looks pretty awesome, but he's not up to the big leagues yet. It's just people are going to complain no matter what. And it's tough because I do have some mild concerns about Max Clark. And we have his video too. And you can kind of see it in the video where he just seems to be late on every fastball. He's either hitting it to the opposite field or swinging and missing at the fastballs. But there's still a lot to like there. You know, he clearly has a very good eye. He did get called out on strikes a couple times. And, you know, he challenged a couple pitches and was right. And the speed is there. He made a really nice diving catch in center field already. It's just I worry a little bit about the bat speed right now. But, again, that could just be because it's the beginning of the year and he's facing live bullets for real for the first time. Or it could be something that they need to fix. But it's not something to get super concerned about just yet, right? This is three games for a 19-year-old. And you know, he was a consensus top five pick in one of the best drafts in the last decade or so. So unless every single scout was wrong, he's probably going to figure this out. But people want results right now. And we saw this play out really well with the Jackson Jobe and Marcelo Meyer thing. So just want people to chill out, take a breath, right? You know, not get too concerned about Max Clark. We'll put the videos out there for people to consume, but, you know, don't yell at him. It's early.
Please don't. It's a kid, you know. No, somebody mentioned, by the way, I'm way behind. So if you mentioned Diaz DFA by Houston, could he come back to Detroit? No, we didn't mention that. And that's a possibility. I mean, right now, with the way arms have been, I mean, why not? He was fine here.
At that point, it's up to him, right? Like he's, I suppose the Tigers could claim him again, right? But I don't know. I mean, they kind of just went through that. So,
yeah. But getting back to Clark, though, it was a little ridiculous. I mean, I think also somebody mentioned too, it could probably have been troll, it could have been robot or AI, whatever. Be that as it may, if you're creating an algorithm to troll a 19-year-old prospect, then you say after one of your life choices.
Yeah, it comes with the territory when you're a high draft pick, right? It's, you know, people, Jameson Williams gets all sorts of guff because he hasn't produced much for the Lions. But that's just the way it goes, man. You're the high draft pick that people expect you to be a superstar right away. But as many people have pointed out, when White Langford was Max Clark's age, he wasn't even playing at the University of Florida. So let alone playing, you know, full season baseball in the minors. So give the kid some time. And like I said, we've seen some of the other tools. He walked a few times. He's a aggressive, good base runner, good defender. Just need to see the hitting. You know, he had a couple deep flyouts and then rolled over on a few balls to second base. You know, big deal. Like we were just talking, Spencer Torkelson hasn't done much of anything in the big leagues right now. Like, you know, sometimes it takes guys a little while.
Although, let's get back to the pitching for a moment, because there's one pitcher that stood out to you over the weekend, Chris, and it was Hayden Milton came out and shoved pretty well for Lakeland.
Yeah, Hayden Milton was their ninth round pick last year, I think, out of Missouri State. Does that sound right?
Well, yeah,
Hayden Randall Milton. I'm looking right now. Ninth rounder, Missouri State. Yeah. Yeah, he had he looked impressive to me. It's a little bit relieverish delivery to me. Like he reminds me a little bit of Garrett Burhan, who was also, I believe, a ninth round pick a few years back. But the fastball, it was a sinker. It was like 93, 95. He may have even touched 96, and it had pretty good movement. And he's got a slider and a changeup, and they're both solid average. And then he flashed an above average curve, which was nice to see. But, yeah, threw a lot of strikes and mixed his pitches well. And it looks like a guy who, like I said, the delivery a little bit looks relieverish to me. It's not super effortful, but there's, I don't know, it's just not, like, super athletic and smooth. But that doesn't necessarily mean if you're throwing enough strike, like you know, we've talked many times about Brent Herder's delivery doesn't look like a starter's delivery to me, but he throws strikes, so he's a starter. So if Minton keeps doing that, I would expect him to, I'd expect him to bump up to West Michigan relatively quickly too, because the stuff looks good enough to get high A hitters out.
Yeah, especially this is a year where, I mean, I don't know enough to, I haven't seen enough yet in A ball, Florida State lead to
two
see
and
how
two
the league
on
fares.
Demolished pitch.
But
he takes a called strike.
The talent. Remember how last year we were talking about the talent levels being different than they were previously. It might be the case this year again. But here it is. I see what you're talking about, Chris. Like that kind of that almost, I don't want to say head whack, but those kind of funky follow through.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a little bit of the way he kind of plants his leg and then lets the follow leg whip around. But like you said, that, you know, the stuff there's one of his above average curves there. And you see all four pitches in this. He struck out Arjun Nimala there. And the sinker was 91 to 95. I think, like I said, I think he touched 96. He threw a four seamer too. But yeah, it was a nice kind of first look at him. I know he pitched a little bit last year, and that was a nasty sinker right there. And
curve again. Yeah.
So, I mean, he seemed to have a pretty good feel for elevating the sinker, which is something that more guys are doing. So it was a nice outing for him. Just like you said, four innings, I think he gave up one run. And then, it was nice. Sawyer Gibson Long came back. Yeah. So he's on the road to recovery. He pitched, the Sunday game was Gibson Long versus Alec Manoah. And, you know, a lot of people were, that's another one where I feel kind of bad because I was putting up that, you know, Alec Manoah walked the first four batters of the game. And a lot of pitchers weren't necessarily close, but he was also throwing 95, 96 and threw a couple decent sliders. It was just like his command was just completely gone. But if I were a Blue Jays fan, I'd be certainly concerned after what happened last year, but there's at least some hope there. The arm, the velocity seems to be back. But, Gibson Long looked good. He gave up a home run to Arjun Nimala, which is, you know, cool for that kid, right? He was a first-round pick, the first ever Indian-American drafted, I think, in any of the major sports, or at least certainly first-round pick. So, but other than that, Gibson Long didn't really have any issues, struck out a bunch of guys. And the one other guy I did want to mention, I don't know, there are a couple of the college picks the Tigers made last year look kind of fun down there in Lakeland. John Peck, shortstop, infielder. He had a rough junior season at college, but he's you can tell he's athletic, can play shortstop, and super aggressive. There was a Max Clark ground ball to second base where Peck started on second base. And it was to the second baseman, so it was drawn in. The second baseman threw home to the catcher. The catcher kind of dropped it, and Peck came all the way around from second to score. Really aggressive, really heady baseball. So I like that. And then Brett Callahan homered, the outfielder homered off Alec Manoah, and it's a good-looking swing. You know, I don't know if he did much more this weekend, but I don't know. He's a guy that I feel like could be – I think I compared him to Ben Malgeri a little bit before is the – kind of do everything outfielder, but he's left-handed, which helps a little bit, right? So I don't know, he's a guy that I'm intrigued to watch. And then saw some good things and some bad things from Jim Jarvis and David Smith, a couple of infielders they took, but overall it was fun. It was mostly fun to just be able to watch low A games. I mean, it's not the best baseball in the world, I'll tell you that. There was a whole lot of walks, and Lakeland blew that Sunday game. They were up 7-1 and they lost 8-7.
Yeah, that was brutal.
And one of the guys I've talked about a couple times, Yosber Sanchez, I always called him Yosber, he came out and he showed his velocity and his breaking ball, but he couldn't throw many strikes, and then he gave up a bomb, a walk-off home run. So a little bit to work on there for Yosber. But
yeah, same thing with Chris Williams Jr. Kind of. We did see the debut of Donve Evans over the weekend, too. Yeah.
You know, Donye Evans, one of their, I think he was a 15th, 16th round draft pick last year out of Coastal Carolina, something like that. No, or
Charlotte.
A big kid with some pretty good stuff. There was just a ton of guys. I think Cole Stupp, I want to say, came in and walked everybody.
There's Zach Lee, who actually looked pretty good too. Exactly.
And then the other one, Andrew Sears, was the other, he was a lefty from UConn. Another guy with pretty interesting stuff. His sinker was up to 94, 95, and he had a pretty solid slider, but he really struggled to throw strikes, and I didn't see much in the way of changeups from him. But it's another solid arm that's added to the system last year. It's just, Need more strikes.
Yeah, it's. I'm hopefully we get to see Thomas. The kid they signed from Indy Ball.
Bruss, he did. He pitched yesterday. And he was up to. He was up to 97, I think, maybe rounded up to 98. But he also had some trouble locating, throwing strikes, and also I think the first batter or two he faced, it was one of those things where it was like just unfortunate events took place behind him. But yeah, it was some pretty good arms in that bullpen. It's just not nearly enough strikes early on in the season.
Yeah, it's all taking time. Yeah, Walter, we went crazy for ham. There's gonna be a lot of ham jokes.
Yeah, we took a look at, and Raj put up the video of, and you can see it on YouTube. I think you probably already have, Walter, but yeah, he's ham was one of the more encouraging stories of the weekend for sure. And Minton was kind of a low key encouraging, and Briseño very very nice, Madden very nice. So yeah, you know, the first three game series, we can't figure out much. It usually takes 5-6 weeks for us to determine, you know, what the storylines of the season will be. You know, this time last year, Colt Keith wasn't off to a great start in Erie. None of us were talking about Justice Bigby. Jackson Jobe was hurt. We didn't know if he was going to come back and be any good. You know, a lot of things needed to happen last year, and it's funny to go back and think about that, and I'm sure there'll be a bunch of fun storylines this year, and in a couple months we'll be shocked by certain prospects and, you know, saddened by others.
Yeah. So if you're looking to check out one of the minor league affiliates, so everybody's home this week. So Toledo is playing Indianapolis starting tomorrow. All 6:30 starts, with the exception of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Tuesday to Thursday, you get a chance, go check out the Mud Hens if you're local to the area. And tomorrow in Erie, they have the home opener, and they believe they did the ring ceremony down in Lakeland already, I believe. So
I think the official rings, but I do think they're doing a flag raising or a banner raising, and I think they're giving out replica rings, right, to fans?
Yes.
And I don't know how many fans.
Allegedly, we might be getting some replica rings, so
we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. But
we did an awful lot of work for that team. We didn't do anything. We watched.
Yeah,
it's fun.
We watched a lot of. Yeah, I mean, you know, to be fair, you know, if you look at our UPMC should give us a check for the impressions. Well, and engagement.
But we didn't do anything. We did nothing to the field. That one time saying, we helped roll out tarp.
Wow, look at Deadly Ninja Bees, man. Savage. He's like, I predict Manning's going to get lit up by Indianapolis.
Well, does Indianapolis have right now?
I'm drawing a blank right. I don't know the Pirates system too well.
I believe Skeens will be pitching at some point this week. So,
that's a good call. So, by the way, tomorrow the opening for the giveaway is the championship banner ring presentation and magnetic schedule exit giveaway. So there you go for down there. For Erie, for West Michigan, for those who are on the west side of the state, because we do have quite a bit of west side people in among our listening audience. Their schedule this week kicks off against the Quad City. I always want to say Quad City DJs, because it's just an old habit. But yeah, they play Quad City. Same thing. Except for Erie on Wednesday, though. Wednesday, Erie has an afternoon game. But you can first two games in West Michigan. The school kids say, yeah. So Tuesday and Wednesday against Quad Cities, both 6:35 starts. And Thursday against Quad City is Dog Day. And then Friday is National Grilled Cheese Day.
All right.
Delicious, so you would say. And then Saturday and Sunday are 2 o'clock games. And then next week they play at Great Lakes, which I might go out. I'm due to go see a Loons game. Great facility. Great facility. I love that place.
The Dodgers always have good prospects, even if we don't know it yet.
Yeah, because you will see them at some point, and it's a good place to see a game. If you get a chance to go to, if you're in the area in mid-Michigan, it's one of the better ballparks. I honestly, I'm not trying to stroke a lot of people's egos there, but it's a good place to see a game. As far as Lakeland goes, so they have their debut of Joe, who we had on the podcast. Puccio, and yeah. Yep, he'll be on there. They start against Binghamton. Wow. Got the Rumble Ponies in there. It's been a long day, folks. Yep. And they kick off their series starting tomorrow at 6:30 and then 6 o'clock. They have Education Day on Thursday. So, but yeah, should be some really good baseball across. And you can watch it all minor league affiliates now. So you have no excuse. And should be a good time. And yeah. I'm trying to take a bit. Is there anything else, Chris, before we get out of here?
No, it's nice to get the season going again. Can be a little hectic when there are four games going on at once and we're trying to get clips for everything. And then, yeah. And also we have lives, right? So we're like, oh, I got to run out. But always welcome people to say, hey, can you go get that clip for us? Like there was something that happened. I want to see it again. Like there was the Carlos Mendoza catch in Lake County that I missed live, but then I heard the announcer mention it later. And then somebody mentioned to us like, hey, can you grab that? And that was where we got the interesting comment from the announcer too.
What did he say?
That I sent you the clip of that the guy that.
Oh,
taken out of context. Yeah.
That clip.
So, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to another week of minor league baseball, and I have a feeling that Max Clark's going to have a good week at home. We'll see, but I think he's going to put something together this week.
So please, if you have not donated already, there's our PayPal link there. As you go to, and there's on our Twitter page or X page, there's a GoFundMe link there and multiple ways to donate and help us out. We really appreciate it. And props to Connor, and he'll know what I'm talking about here in a second. But we'll see. We have a couple of players lined up for our interview series, and I'm not going to say.
Oh, who, nice.
Yeah. So check the DMs, Chris, when you're all set.
All right.
And we'll be back next week. Hopefully Brandon will be back with us. For week three, as we recap every single Monday night starting at 9 o'clock here on the Tiger Minor League YouTube channel. Click to subscribe. Please do so. It goes a long way. And follow us on Twitter at Tigers MLB Report and our Facebook page. Yes, we still use Facebook. And we do have an Instagram, but there's just so many. I can get better about posting. But props out. Shout out to Connor, who's been helping us. He's been producing behind the scenes. And props to Zeke Jennings, who's going to be covering West Michigan tomorrow for us. So he's going to be.
Thank you, Zeke. I was hoping to get out there, but.
It's nice. And shout out to Colin, too. Colin, you went to a Mudhens game the last week. I forgot to give him some props for that. That was really nice of him to do that. And so it's nice to have people that can help us out. It goes on, which is why those donations, little things like that, that help pay for Colin's. Got him a polo, and then he's like, oh. I'm like, do you want me to pay for your subscription? He's like, no, I got it. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, it all goes back to what we do and we love. And so until next week, have a good week, everybody.